take some way now in just a minute. We're going to invite Mike Prinz to come forward to give a testimony. It's a privilege for us to get a chance to hear from Mike. As many of you know, a year ago last October, Mike wasn't feeling very well, and it was hard for anybody to figure out what was going on until he received the diagnosis of ALS, otherwise known as Lou Gehrig's disease, of which there is no cure. And Mike and I have had the privilege of meeting together for, every other week lunch for a couple of weeks now. Mike knows all the good restaurants around, that's for sure. And he has let me pay every once in a while as well, which has been a real blessing. As I've heard some of Mike's life and got to know him better because of that, I asked him if he'd be willing to tell you a little bit about some of the things that he's been telling me. So, Mike, thank you very much for coming up here and hanging out with me. Our first question was, I believe, an update we discussed. Tell us a little bit about where you are right now with regard to the ALS.
Okay, well, first, thanks for the opportunity to talk to the broader congregation. I have to tell you, I like the back pew a lot better than where I'm at right now. I've been going to the doctor, to the ALS clinic down at the University of Minnesota every 90 days, and basically my breathing has stabilized, although my mobility continues to deteriorate. So those of you that haven't seen me in a wheelchair, that's becoming more of a commonplace appliance as I kind of mobile around. You can take some satisfaction in the fact that I'm no longer driving as of Monday. I did get my car away, so that's off the menu. But as John and I have talked, I've had an opportunity to kind of reflect back on several things. And those of you that were kind enough to come to my retirement deal, some of this is going to be repetitious. But as I reflected back on the October final diagnosis that I did have ALS, it is a terminal illness. It really kind of knocks you for a loop. And as I picked my teeth up off the floor, and Cindy and I prayed together and talked endlessly. And by the way, as before I get into this, I should give a little bit of an apology. One of the byproducts of ALS is what they call emotional incontinence. So I'm trying to make this through without crying. So I apologize in advance if I break down here. And really, Cindy and I, as I kind of reflected back, it's really forced me back to think about the four F's in my life, and that's my faith, my family, my friends, and fun. And to know a little bit of that, I need to set a context. I was brought up in a Christian home in Minneapolis. At Knox Presbyterian Church, I came up with the Tweetons. I've known Paul since I was a little guy. We both grew up in that church together. So I've been a Christian as long as I can remember. I've had a successful career. I've had a blessed career, really. I've worked with great people. I've worked with really smart people. And I've been successful at what I've done. But one of the things that, as I reflected back, my career really has relegated my faith to more of a head knowledge than a heart knowledge. And it's competed with the distractions that I think all guys put up with that are in business. And that is the chase after power, after status, after money, after success. And I'll tell you, one thing ALS does is it knocks you back to your basics. And I know at my retirement, prior to my retirement, I talked to several senior people that I've worked with announcing my retirement. And they said, boy, Mike, this has got to be devastating. And I said, you know, I wished it didn't happen to me, but you have to understand a little bit about how I'm built. And this is really God reaching out, reminding me that, one, I do have a plan for you, and this is the next chapter in the life, in the plan that I have for you. And they were stunned by that. They said, how can you say that? And I said, well, and a very good friend of mine died about 12 weeks ago in the basement on his treadmill, John McDonald, my attorney. And I love John. He got me out of some really tough scrapes, by the way. He was a great attorney. And relatively inexpensive. But I told my buddies, I said, you know, compared to John, I've got a do-over here. I've got a big do-over. And I've got an opportunity to spend some time and reflect on what really is important in life. And it's driven me back to the heart side of the religion and my faith, the knowledge that God is with us, that he does have a plan for us, and that he's with us through thick and through thin. And boy, this is the thick part right now. So John and I spent some time talking about that and just reflecting over my life. You know, God has chased the distractions out. My life has gotten a lot smaller and it's become more focused. And for that, this ALS is a blessing, not a curse. I wish it didn't happen until I was about 70, but it is what it is. And I learned a long time ago not to argue with that. The other thing that's helped me immeasurably is my family. I have a tremendous family. I have three brothers. They've been a tremendous support to me. My three sons, Kyle, stand in the back there, have given me immeasurable strength and resolve to fight this as long as I can. And my friends, particularly my church friends, you people mean more to me than you'll ever know. The comments, the occasional emails, the opportunity to get together and chat, that strength gives me immeasurable strength to kind of persevere on as my life continues to get a little smaller and smaller. So a kind word every now and again, you think, oh, it's just gratuitous. That means a lot to me. And I appreciate it more than you know. The fun part, I can't, Cindy's warned me about this. ALS humor is really twisted, so I won't go into that. Because what you find is that, and I've told Cindy, I said, I'm like having a four-year-old around. You can't dress yourself. You can't do anything. So the humor goes hand in hand with that. But over my life, as I reflected back, I have had fun. And fun has been a big motif. As we've worked hard, we played hard too. We skied, we sailed. I've been all over the world. I've been really blessed. I've had a blessed life. So I'm not feeling sorry for myself, John. I look at God, and he has blessed my life in ways that I know I'm not entitled to.
You know, you talked about your faith being brought in with the chalk lines there. And I'm reminded a little bit of our previous sermon series on Joseph, who never complained. That entrepreneurial spirit that you talked about in terms of your history seems to continue to come out now. You're working with Paul and Bob.
I am. I'm trying to capitalize a small I'm capitalizing a small company that my son Paul's involved with. It's an online company. We're very excited about it. It's got a huge potential, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's also kind of kept one oar in the water here, which has really been great.
Yep. You're also going to BSF?
I am. BSF, one of my workmates invited me to BSF up at Wooddale, and that has been a real blessing, Monday nights.
Monday nights, you're studying Isaiah?
Isaiah. Not a fun date, but it's been a fun study.
And quite a lot of homework with BSF.
So. A lot of homework every day, which is good. It's kind of forced me back into the Word, and that's been good too. Yeah. Thank goodness for Gateway Bible Online. It's been a real blessing.
Yep, works for me too.
It's been a real blessing. Yes. It has been.
And you've also taken this time, just as you have now, and as you talked about your work situation as well, to really not only tell your story, but tell your story so that others can have that same story too. There are people in your lives that you really care about.
Right.
You hope that they get a chance to know the Lord. You've been working directly for that and praying for that as well.
Right. I've got several people that have I prayed for over the years that they would come to know Christ. And I'll tell you, this illness has dropped any pretension for what you and I might say, well, civil people don't do that. Now I'm blunt as a board. Mm-hmm. I'm blunt as a board. Mm-hmm. I was at lunch the other day with a very, very dear friend of mine who was whining about Christianity and the hypocrisy of Christians. And I stopped him midstream and I said, you know, Jim, don't let cynicism stand in the way you're getting to meet your God, because it's a huge barrier. And it stopped him. And I know I'm going to win that battle with him. He just doesn't know it yet. But ALS has forced me back inside the chalk lines. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't be human and not be distracted by the many things that success brings. And this has really forced me back to focus on what's real in life. Mm-hmm. And what's real in life is Christ's love for us, the fact that he does have a plan for us. And I've seen it work. I've seen it work in Cindy's sister's life with a miracle that happened there. And I know that I'll be a beneficiary of his love.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we just shared the last time we were together was you talked about your ALS support group. Could you talk a little bit about the effect that you guys have had on your leader, that story that you told me?
Well, we go to an ALS support group down at the university, and there's probably 15 ALS patients that come for pizza, which is always interesting to see people that can't hold anything eat pizza. It's sort of a food fight. But the one thing, that last one, we went around and talked about how ALS is affecting us, and there were six of the most positive Christian testimonies that came out. It just made you cry. In fact, the facilitator was crying, and she said, she goes to a number of these support groups, and she goes, the ALS group is the most positive group out. And it's kind of odd, but ALS, by virtue of the fact that there is no hope, there is no false hope, it really forces you back to focus on what's important. And the people there, it's been a tremendous Christian uplift, because these testimonies were so genuine, they were so heartfelt. Boy, the room was in tears. The room was in tears. It's a good group to go to.
Well, Mike, thank you. Mike, thank you so much for what you said.
Thank you, John,
today,
for the opportunity. And I love you guys more than you know. You're on the friend side and the church family side. The Progressive Dinner was great last night. It was great to get together with church friends. So thank you again. And I'll update you from time to time. But I'm doing good. I've got nothing to complain about, guys. Thank you.
Let me offer prayer, and then we'll give them a praise for God, for a person whose attitude hasn't changed from before the diagnosis to after the diagnosis. And we're blessed to know both sides of Mike and the reality that there, at this present time, there is no hope for cure.
No.
However, there is the eternal hope that allows us not to worry but to be in joy. We thank you so much for being a part of that and taking the time that you have to share as bluntly as is necessary. We're so glad for that.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, John.
All right, let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for our brother Mike. And Lord, as I remember first meeting up with Mike, and it was hard to do because he was on the move, still working, it wasn't really until after he was forced to say goodbye to work that we finally got a chance to sit together. And as I was prepared to, in prayer and by your spirit and also by study, as well prepared to be receiving a man dealing with ALS, here was somebody who said he wasn't afraid of dying. How that was going to happen, he was pretty concerned about at the time. A man as well, Lord God, who continues to grow closer to you through this time as well. We thank you for, indeed, the true hope that Mike portrays in his life. Lord, would you continue to bless him? And Lord, I still continue to heal, hold out for your miracle time for him, because that's something that I hope for in a sermon series. I wrote that down on a sheet, and some people here may remember that sermon I gave, for us to hope for something incredible. That sheet's still in my Bible. In fact, it's marking today's place. Lord, there is that hope to the reality of who you are for us in Jesus Christ. And for Mike, that is where his hope lies. Lord, we're thankful for his life, and we thank you that we have him. Help us, Lord God, to continue to bless him as he is a blessing to us. We give this all to you, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Can we thank Mike for coming up?